a bit of a positive twist on it and just say, you know, this is how we band together and learn from these experiences too. So
exactly.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. So silly. Okay, let's get to the positive again. And I'd love to hear what your favorite thing is about your field. And I definitely want to talk about your music as well. But I'd love to hear what your favorite thing is first from this like STEM perspective.
Right. My favorite thing about my field is being able to see a project through from start to finish. And that sounds so generic, but I'll go into more detail.
It's very satisfying.
It is. And I think, you know, in building sciences, because you're working with, in this case, I'm working with a lot of strata. So you almost become, you know, a part of their life for that period of time. You're there on the sites as often as you're able to, based on, you know, the project scope and things like that. But even before you get to that stage, you're developing the project, you're talking through, you know, the findings and your recommendations and establishing a scope of work and then getting contractors involved. Like, you just become such a huge part of the planning process for this building. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, take it through that renovation process. And then at the end of that, see the end results, see the, you know, the smiles on their faces of seeing the repairs done. And there's just something so gratifying about being able to see people through that process. It's a long process because some projects are a year long, or 6 months long, you know, so it's, you know, you're not always able to appreciate that till the very end, because then at that point you can see the results, you know, new cladding, windows, you know, or whatever the scope is. Yeah. And you see it and they're like, wow, this looks amazing. Yeah. And everyone's happy about it. And so I just love that process of, you know, having that end goal in mind and just sort of having that motivation, because for every time I see the end results, I'm able to, more and more, I'm able to think about that end goal in mind of like, remember that project, remember how lovely it turned out. Let's make sure that happens for this project. And so just kind of having that, picture, at the back of my mind of where I want this to go. And so, so that's always really gratifying.
I can imagine. And literally building something.
Exactly. Yeah. Literally building something.
That's really cool. So what about music? Like, what draws you to music? What do you, what's your favorite part of experiencing, but I guess performing and just doing music?
Right. Oh, man. Music it's my passion. You know, it's something that I've done for as long as I can remember. I think the first time I ever performed, I must have been like 13 or 14. So it's just always been a part of my life, and songwriting. And so it's just something that's second nature to me. And so when I get up on stage and I'm around people, that energy just makes me feel alive, makes me feel happy, excited. And also I think there's just this nice feeling of, you know, seeing people who've had whatever days they've had, work days or whatever, you know, their lives are, and they all come to this space. And, you know, we're all connected in this space for this amount of time. It might only be for 45 minutes, but we're all connected in that one moment. And we're singing together and we're, you know, dance, it might be dancing or not because of COVID,
right?
You know, and there's still that,
yes.
You know, and we're just all connected in that one moment to just enjoy the music and the sounds. And so it just feels like an honor to be able to do that with people, to be able to serve people in that way and just sort of allow them for a moment to just not think of all the worries in the world and just enjoy the music. And so that for me is one of my favorite parts about being a musician.
Nice. I have to admit, you just gave me goosebumps. Like, and I'm not even joking. Like, I cannot wait to be able to go back to a music venue and see live music and experience it and everything. There is really, like, you know, it's hard for me not to believe in magic when I'm in an environment like that, you know?
It's very powerful. Yeah, it's very powerful.
Definitely. And I'd love to hear how you see music and like engineering intertwining in your life, like that sort of, you know, if we were to talk about STEAM, science, technology, engineering, arts, and math. How do you see them intertwining, or do they stay pretty separate in your life? I'm curious what you what you think.
I would say they definitely intertwine, but it took me a while to see that they do.
Okay.
Because with music, I am communicating with an eclectic group of people, and I found that they're actually people who also, similar to me, are in engineering and music as well. Mm-hmm. I've met, or even other disciplines, like I've met a lawyer who plays the bass, and I've met a mechanical engineer who plays the saxophone, and I've just, you know, along my path, I've met different people who are eclectic in that space, or maybe full-on artists, and it just influences the way that I'm able to relate with the world, be able to relate with people. And I find that because of the nature of my job, I'm also always communicating with people and relating with people. Mm-hmm. It's really, really helped me to just see the world differently and have more of an open mind as I communicate. Even in the aspect of project management, I find that I'm able to transfer skills on both sides, mm-hmm. because both sides involve projects, and both sides, you know, to create a body of work, like when it comes to releasing music, that also is a project management in itself. You have to think about budgets,
for sure.
and you have to think about collaborators and timelines and deadlines, yes. and all of these end goals. So all of that, all of those skills that I've learned in engineering, I've also transferred them to music and vice versa.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I love that you brought up transferable skills. That is so key. And, you know, we talk sometimes, or I don't know, maybe not in my circles, but I've heard people say that they have this idea that like STEM jobs are kind of, I don't know, static. You're just like sitting at a desk crunching numbers. But you just said you're collaborating, you're talking to people, you're working with people, you're working on teams. Like, that is just absolutely not true that you just sit at a desk and don't talk to anybody.
Like it's such a dynamic job, like constantly communicating with people, solving problems, and it takes a team to solve problems. Mm-hmm. Like it's not like if everyone could think for a moment of, you know, one problem that they had to deal with, a lot of times maybe in that moment you might not have spoken to someone, but someone probably inspired you to make the decisions that you did.
Oh, yeah.
And so at some point in time, you definitely had to communicate about how to, you know, make those decisions. And in some cases, it's a bit larger scale. So you're working in groups, you're sending out emails or face-to-face meetings, right. or Zoom meetings or site visits or, you know, whatever else. And so there's always that, you know, constant like movement, and even the fact that you're not working on the same project forever.
Yeah,
the projects are constantly changing. The issues are changing. And then now it's even getting more interesting because we're now diving into climate change on a larger scale. And we have to consider that. We have to consider energy efficiency with our designs. We have to consider climate change so that we're not just building things that are just going to be here for, you know, this period of time, but now we're thinking of the next generation. We're thinking about sustainability a lot more in our practice.
Yes.
So it's definitely a lot more dynamic. And I think maybe there's some fields that still require crunch numbers, but I doubt it.
I don't know. I mean, maybe, but I think that overall STEM fields in general are very collaborative. And you do really have to think outside the box. Like, it's all about creating new things and using your knowledge to really improve the world and stuff. So that's, absolutely. I'm glad that you touched on those things because I think people listening need to hear that sometimes. Well, Shade, this has been such a great conversation. I love all the different points you brought up, all the collaboration, all the transferable skills, all the fun stuff, the music. So I'd love to finish up with just asking what advice you'd like to give to the next generation of STEM professionals.
My advice would be to never stop chasing what excites you and what got you into STEM in the first place. Mm-hmm. If there are things that you are passionate about, maybe designing new patents or patents, I think it's how it's pronounced, patents, or, you know, if you're passionate about whatever it is that got you in here, that has pushed you this far, and now you're about to get into the workforce, never stop chasing that. And so if that means going into a space that can accommodate that, absolutely go for that. Because a lot of times what happens is we settle into these spaces that could sometimes become, yes, it's dynamic, but it could also become mundane because there's a set system
yeah.
on how to do things.
Right.
And so if you have more of a, you know, an exposed mindset or an open mindset, you know, whatever it is that has pushed you to get to this point, keep pursuing that. And if you find that changes, change with it. Mm-hmm. If you find that your interests are starting to gear towards a different direction, follow that, because you're growing and you're evolving in your industry. And so as you continue to follow that change, you'll find that you'll continue to feel gratified in what you're doing and you'll continue to grow. And I wish you the very, very best. I hope that I get to see you in the industry and that you just do incredible things.
Awesome. I hope maybe someday a listener will come up to you at some event or something and say, hey, I heard you on Best of the West.
Yeah, that'll be amazing.
That would be so cool. Or I heard your music, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that'd be so great. Well, thank you so much for joining me and for all of your words of wisdom. I'd like to ask where people can connect with you and where listeners can find your music.
Absolutely. You can connect with me on LinkedIn, Sade Akimbami. Feel free to send me a message. You know, if you'd like to hear more about my music, I'd be happy to send you links to my music and things like that. Or if you'd like to hear more about my career, I'd be very happy to talk about it. Yeah.
Awesome. Sounds good. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We acknowledge that Best of the West is hosted and produced on the unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. Best of the West is also produced on Treaty 6 territory. Best of the West has featured many guests and has been hosted and produced by people of different lands, countries, and cultures, but we also acknowledge that we are settlers on this land. We are grateful for the privilege to be working as visitors on these unceded and ancestral territories of all the Métis, Inuit, First Nations, and Indigenous people that call this land home. Thank you again for listening.
If you enjoyed this episode and want to keep up with all the latest news on women in STEM, you can visit us online at wwest.ca. There, you can subscribe to our bi-weekly newsletter, connect with us on social media, and more. From everyone at West Coast Women in Engineering, Science, and Technology, thanks for listening.
The Sexual Violence Support and Prevention Office, SVSPO, offers confidential support, advice, and referrals to SFU and FIC community members, including students, staff, and faculty who have been impacted by sexual violence and misconduct. The SVSPO is a welcoming place where you can access support without judgment or assumptions. We work from a survivor-centered perspective, using an empowerment and trauma-informed approach that considers individual situations and perspectives. Please reach out. Services are located at the Diamond Alumni Center, room 014 on the lower level. Please reach out by email at sv-support@sfu.ca. That was sv-support@sfu.ca.
This is Bird Note. This glorious song rings out every spring from tracts of sagebrush throughout the West. A male sage thrasher is proclaiming his territory. Sagebrush was once so widespread in the Great Basin region that you'd never be out of earshot of one of these sandy brown long-tailed songsters. But miles of drab, gray-green sagebrush don't inspire the love that redwood forests or alpine lakes evoke in us.
This is Bird Note. In many bird species, the males sort themselves into higher and lower ranking birds, known as alpha males and beta males. It may seem like beta males always get the short end of the stick, but could there be advantages to being second? Male lance-tailed manakins are known to pair up, one alpha and one beta, and perform choreographed courtship displays for females. This is called cooperative courtship, when the alpha and beta, who are not closely related, work together to attract the female. They even practice beforehand.
Taking it to heart. Can you?